Have you ever thought of working in Italy as a luxury brand strategist while traveling and living la dolce vita?
Ciao, siamo Gabriele e Angelique. Benvenuti nel nostro podcast. We are passionate language learners and we record for you the language learning podcast we'd like to play when we learn new languages.
Our podcast in mixed English and simple Italian helps beginners and intermediate Italian language learners enjoy engaging content about Italy, its language, and its culture since day zero of their language learning journey.
Today, we had a chat with Elena Ciprietti, a New Yorker who moved to Italy over 10 years ago. She lived in cities like Milan and Palermo before moving to Modena. She explored more Italy than most Italians and all of this while building her career in the fascinating world of marketing and Italian luxury.
Listen now to our interview with Elena and learn the full story of her wild Italian journey.
Eccoci, benvenuti a un altro episodio e oggi abbiamo il piacere di avere con noi Elena Ciprietti. Benvenuta. Ok, so, Elena è una amante dell'Italia, sono ormai più di 10 anni che sei in Italia, giusto?
Yes, and my name is Italian, but I am actually American. I am born and raised in New York. I have Italian blood, but I've been living in Italy, let's say fixed here for the last almost 12 years, between Milan, Palermo, and now in Modena.
12 anni sono davvero tanti.
Sì, quasi quasi.
Il tuo antenato italiano più vicino che ha vissuto in Italia a quante generazioni fa va indietro qua?
So my grandfather, that's the closest one. He was born in Farindola in Abruzzo,
okay.
In a very small town, but came to America when he was very young. And the same of my side, which is Sicilian, was my great-grandparents, but always when they were very young, so they didn't speak Italian living in New York. So I learned Italian on my own, let's say. I wasn't used to hearing it growing up.
Ma quanto ti ha influenzato la tua origine italiana nella scelta di studiare l'italiano e di conoscere meglio l'Italia?
In middle school, high school, I was learning Spanish. So that was what the school started to offer. So that's what I went with. I think that also made it quite easy for me to learn Italian because it's quite similar. But I really became focused on learning Italian when I came to Italy the first time. I was 16 years old. I was in high school. And I came on vacation. I went to an all-girls school. There was 50 of us. We were, I think, 16, 17. 50 girls in Italy, 50 teenage girls. And from that moment, I knew I wanted to live in Italy. From the moment I came, I landed in Fiumicino Airport in Rome. And that's when I really started to learn, like completely immerse myself in learning Italian.
Perché prima non sapevi nulla di italiano o avevi già studiato?
No. I heard a little bit of dialect, a little tiny bit of dialect, but I knew nothing of Italian.
E non avevi fatto un po' di pratica, Little Italy?
Yeah, but it's quite different, you know, it's a different experience. But, you know, having that background of Spanish helped me quite a bit as a base, and then just going and anything I could get my hands on Italian. So Italian books, Italian movies, music, learning about Italian culture, and just completely immersing myself in the language helped me quite a bit. And then obviously studying grammar. And I actually ended up majoring it in college. But, you know, when you get really excited about learning a language, as I'm sure those who are listening feel the same way I do, you just can't get enough of it. And even all these years later, I mean, I've been studying Italian now, I'm 32, so 16 years later, there's still so much to learn. You know, there's still not just of the language, but also of the country and the culture. And it's such a beautiful and diverse country.
Quanto è stata difficile questo inizio? Tipo con tutti questi materiali, dei libri, film, tutti. Com'è stata? Era difficile?
Well, I think I felt so excited about it that it gave me the enthusiasm to go forward, that I didn't realize how difficult it is. I recently, in the last few years, started learning French, and it's quite difficult to learn a language. You know, especially you have to have a lot of humility because you make mistakes. I mean, even now, I still make mistakes. I say things funny. I have my accent. But, you know, when you really feel the passion and the call to learn the language, you kind of forget about how difficult it is. And obviously it takes a lot of repetition. I remember writing out the conjugations, all the different verb tenses, and to memorize, a lot of memorizing, but it was fun. It was kind of like a game because then I got to come to Italy and, you know, order at a restaurant or ask someone for directions. And it was very gratifying experience to be able to be, you know, see, and I still even have now people want to give me the English menu, you know, when they hear the accent. But, you know, to be able to feel a part of it is totally worth it, and to encourage, at least encourage me in the beginning to keep studying.
Domani?
Stavo aspettando che passasse l'ambulanza.
Dobbiamo ancora... sound, this one.
È molto italiana, sì, sì, sì. Stiamo aspettando che ci montino le finestre nuove soundproof proprio per il podcast, ma ancora non sono arrivate. E una delle cose che tante volte i nostri amici expat ci raccontano è che è difficile migliorare l'italiano, perché tante volte quando provano a parlare in italiano poi l'italiano gli risponde in inglese. A te è capitata spesso questa cosa?
Happened to me recently on vacation. So I was in Ischia last week, and I was speaking in Italian and they were responding in English. And you know, Italians generally have a really fun attitude in life, so you can kind of be cheeky and joke around with it. I know a lot of times people are excited to meet someone who speaks English. Maybe they don't really have the opportunity, and then other times it takes a lot of patience. You know, sometimes you'll say things wrong or, you know, but I encourage people traveling to Italy to explain to them, you know, this is my vacation. I'm really excited to practice. Please be patient with me. You know, and I think it's also very much appreciated by Italians. You know, we're not of people who want to get into the culture, want to learn more. And, you know, my advice to someone would be, don't be discouraged. You know, if you do something with a smile, usually people will work with you. And to be open also to learning. I find that people have often corrected me in very loving ways when I make mistakes. And I remember then the mistake that I'm making. You know, I'm trying to think of a concrete example of like something I say incorrect is, senso or fa senso, I don't remember, like it makes sense and yes. I say it wrong and I've had people correct me and then I know, and then I'm thinking of a friend of mine, she's an expat in Palermo, she said, non ho saputo, I didn't know, but you wouldn't really say it that way, but when someone lovingly corrects you, then it stays within you and then you can also laugh about it, thinking like, oh, it's a silly mistake I made.
Sì, c'è una forte carica emozionale che poi ti aiuta a ricordarlo.
Sì.
E poi è molto vero quello che dici, che comunque noi italiani siamo molto disponibili, diciamo, ad aiutare lo straniero ad imparare. Anzi, a volte parliamo in inglese pensando di far piacere allo straniero che invece magari vorrebbe praticare italiano. Ed è difficile. Ecco, non so se avrai la stessa esperienza in Francia, perché i francesi invece col francese hanno un atteggiamento abbastanza diverso.
Yes, it's quite, and it's funny, when I'm in France, they think I'm Italian, because I learned Italian in Italy, I learned French in Italy, and they think that I'm Italian the way that I speak, and then they'll speak to me in Italian, and actually that's not my first language, so it's quite funny, but I do find here in Italy, more outside of the big cities, I think big cities are used to people coming for business, and people maybe just want to speak English, but you're in the smaller towns. It's also fun for them to hear, you know, the accent and the little mistakes. It's a fun experience.
Hai notato tipo come diverse le persone quando parlano, tipo uno da Milano, uno da Modena, uno da Sicilia, come sono? Tipo a Milano capita che mischiano anche con parole inglese, per esempio.
Verissimo.
Sì, a Milano molto, e anche...
Fa un po' ridere, fa un po' ridere anche a me personalmente ogni tanto. Quando scheduliamo la call. Ma perché devi schedulare la call? Ma cos'è?
In Milan is very direct, it's straight to the point, I find. It's a business city, but in Palermo there's a lot of... It takes a lot longer to say it. There's a lot of words, there's a lot of pauses. I find that Modena is kind of a nice mix between the two places that I lived. I find in Modena people are very warm and hospitable. They're very kind. They're very fun. There's a lot of banter here. It's not as in Milan, I find that people can be a little bit distant. And then in Sicily, I can find that people are very... I want to use an Italian word, avvolgente, like they kind of, I don't even know the English word that I would use to explain how my experience in Sicily, people very much want to be a part of your experience. They want to get to know you. Sometimes they ask you questions that are maybe too friendly, you know, maybe a little too, I don't want to say invasive, but sometimes. And in Modena, I find it's a nice mix also because here there's a lot of business. So there is that kind of a mindset of Milan, but it's a lot more relaxed. And I find that also I've been here for about 9 months now. Also, the way that I operate has changed. It's not as frenetic as when I lived in Milan. It doesn't have to be done right now. There's always time for a coffee. Whereas in Sicily, maybe there was not as much of a rush as there was in Milan. So here in Modena is kind of a happy medium.
È un mix felice. E poi i modenesi e i romagnoli in generale sono persone molto divertenti, yeah, secondo me.
Yeah.
Poi il loro accento è
and
fantastico.
And also, if I think about it, you know, all three places too have incredible food. You know, the three different places of Italy, some of the best food of the country. And it's also different if you just, I mean, obviously... food in Italy is such an important aspect, but also just the food is so different and just how varied this amazing country is.
C'è in Modena, non c'è il ristorante famoso, quello dello chef?
Massimo Bottura.
L'hai provato? Sei stata?
I have not had the chance to eat at Osteria Francescana yet, but I've been to Francescetta, which is the bistro, and it's absolutely delicious. I've been twice. The tortellini are incredible. And there's also, they make a hamburger with cotechino, which is, I don't know how to explain it in English, it's some type of pork thing.
Yeah, it's pork calf.
Yes. Which doesn't sound super appetizing, but it's delicious. I find that when you say a lot of Italian ingredients in English, it loses the magic of it.
Perde un po' di fascino, sì, è vero.
It's literal. Yeah. Mm.
I heard that they also have like a B&B close by as well, like owned, being managed by Bottura's wife. Can't remember. She's also American.
Yes, I haven't been there yet, but I heard it's very beautiful.
Yeah.
Dobbiamo provarlo, Angie.
Una volta.
Dobbiamo decisamente andare.
Yes, you'll have to come to Modena. I would
yes.
love that.
Sì, ma prima o poi ci veniamo. Se ci sei, magari ti salutiamo di persona.
Sì, sì.
Perché siamo passati lì vicino, ma a Modena non ci siamo mai fermati.
Mai.
Siamo stati a Parma e tu sei lì per lavorare nell'automotive, visto che la zona lì è famosa, c'è cioè Ferrari,
sì.
Lamborghini, Maserati,
Emilia Romagna.
Sì, sì, è pieno lì. Sembra che si siano messi d'accordo tutti per mettere le aziende lì, forse perché è vicino a Imola, non lo so.
Yeah, what they call it is fast car, slow food. So the cars here are very fast, and the food is very slow. You know, the other day yesterday I went to Mercato Abinelli, which is the covered market here in Modena, and I felt so Italian going grocery shopping there, you know, and you can see it says, I mean, in Milan I recognize this as well, but it says where all the ingredients are from, you know, what is local, what's nearby, you see the different cheeses, it's like... it's a very human approach to food. So I love going grocery shopping there. And a very interesting thing in Modena as well is there, I think there's only one grocery store in the city center because there's a tradition of going to the market. So I'm used to, when I lived in Milan, there's like Carrefour on every street, there's grocery store 24 hours. Here on Sunday, you can't go grocery shopping. You have to go to an Esselunga or someplace, a bigger grocery store outside. So it's interesting, this this juxtaposition of very slow food and very fast cars. You know, some of the fastest cars in the world come from, it's called the Motor Valley, which is where we are.
Non conoscevo questo detto, però ci sta effettivamente. Tu l'avevi sentito?
Ho sentito quando stavo studiando con la mia insegnante
bolognese,
sì.
Anche a Genova è un po' così, eh. Infatti noi quando ci siamo trasferiti a Milano, ne abbiamo vissuto a Milano per circa 5 anni, ci siamo appena ritrasferiti a Genova, e una delle cose che ci sono mancati di più sono proprio i mercati rionali. Qui ogni quartiere ha il suo mercato di frutta e verdura, e non riuscivo a spiegarmi come non ci potessero essere a Milano. E è una cosa che mi ha colpito anche quando sono stato negli Stati Uniti, a New York. Non riuscivo a capire dove gli americani andassero a comprare la frutta e la verdura fresca. C'era qualche negozietto piccolo che però vendeva delle cose molto bio, molto
fresche?
Sì, molto hipster, con dei prezzi pazzeschi, tipo $3 a zucchina.
Well, the best prices you could find are in Palermo, because whenever I post a picture from Modena at the market, people tell me that's like, you know, €1 compared to 10 in Modena. In Sicily, the you know, going to the market, there's a beautiful market culture in Palermo, and it's very inexpensive to go grocery shopping there.
Sì. C'è anche il mercato del pesce lì a Palermo, vero?
I believe it's Mercato del Capo is where because they have fish everywhere, but if you want certain things, you go to the certain markets and on certain days, and that it's very much tradition there in Palermo.
Hai viaggiato davvero in lungo e largo, sei stato, oltre ad aver vissuto in lungo e largo in Italia, dov'è che non sei ancora stata?
I haven't been to Trieste yet.
So Friuli.
Which I hear is a beautiful place, it's on my bucket list. I don't know Umbria too well. Mm-hmm. I've been there, but I don't know it too well. I mean, I haven't been to every single place in Italy, but all the ones I wanted to go to, I've been to quite a few times. I've been very blessed both for, you know, pleasure and for work to travel quite a bit in this country. But I love the beaches. So now is my favorite time of the year because it's summer, especially June, and then in September to go to the beach. Also in April, I was in Sicily and I swam. There weren't many people in the water because it was cold, but because I'm a American, I'm not afraid of a little bit of cold water, and it's beautiful. It's a beautiful time to go.
Vedi?
A me piace l'acqua molto calda, quindi per me.
Well, it's even better in September because it had all summer to heat up, and I've spent a lot of time in Liguria as well, by Genoa, and even October, I've swam before. And it's beautiful.
Qual è la tua spiaggia del cuore? Dov'è che, diciamo, quando pensi a voglio andare al mare, qual è il posto che hai in mente?
Favignana. So it's a small island off of Sicily, and it's famous that it's shaped like a butterfly, and the water is just absolutely beautiful. I've been there many times. I always wanted to go, and then finally, the first time I went was 5 years ago, 2017, and I loved it. And I like a sandy beach. A lot of Italians prefer with the pebbles or with cliffs, but I love a sandy beach, and there's a beautiful one there. And what I love about Favignana is also you go around on a bicycle. I mean, obviously you can have a car or a scooter, but I love to go on the bicycle, and the stars are just incredible, incredible there. So it's kind of all of it together, and the food, obviously, the fish and the veggies, and I like the idea of a small place. I really just love the islands of Italy, and I was in Procida last weekend, Procida and Ischia, and that's kind of a second runner-up, I think, maybe Procida is beautiful. Also Puglia. Puglia is an island, but I love Puglia as well. Mm.
Sei mai stata nelle isole vulcaniche, quelle dove ci sono le spiagge nere, tipo Vulcano?
Yes, I went there, when was it? 3 years, right before COVID. And I believe it was looking at Stromboli, and there was actually the eruption. And it was this orange sunset it was like unlike anything I've ever seen. I was by boat, and I remember I even have goosebumps now just thinking about it, but the whole time I had goosebumps. And, you know, just the nature of Italy. I mean, obviously there's the art and the culture, but even just on a natural standpoint is like, there's nothing in the world like it. I've traveled all around the world, and I still, for me, Italy is just, there's nothing like it in this world. It's so incredible.
Non posso sicuramente negare. Non sono io a negare. No, è molto bella, è molto bella. Anzi, diciamo, guarda, ne approfitto di avere, diciamo, un'americana con noi in questo episodio per chiederti, ma secondo te, perché tutti i film americani sull'Italia sono ambientati in Toscana o a Roma? Perché ci sono tanti altri posti belli in Italia. Pure sembra che gli americani vadano solo in Toscana o a Roma. È stranissima questa cosa.
Yeah. I think because, well, speaking of Rome, one of my favorite scenes ever is in La Dolce Vita in the Trevi Fountain. Mm-hmm. Like, for me, it's just one of the most incredible scenes I've ever seen in my life. But I think the appeal of Rome, also cinematographic, is because it's so old. So in America, you know, it's relatively new country, and you just feel the history. I mean, there are other places where you feel history, like Pompeii, for example. There's many places that there are ruins. But just the whole, like the cobblestones of Rome, and it brings back the idea of ancient Rome. And then Tuscany is a big favorite for Americans. Americans love Tuscany, I think, because it's very lush. It's very fairy tale, I find it. Like if you think Under the Tuscan Sun, movies like this.
Sì, esatto.
It transmits a lot of peace. Mm.
Sì. Però ci sono altri posti molto simili, per esempio il Cuneese, la zona intorno ad Asti, non so se sei stata, sono molto simili alla Toscana, però sono molto più, molto meno conosciuti, eppure sono anche...
And also on a culinary standpoint, you know, also for a wine standpoint, there's a lot of amazing, you know, exports like hazelnut and truffles, but... Tuscany, I guess on a marketing level, is doing very well.
Exactly.
Everyone wants to go there. Also because it's close to Florence, which is another place of like the Renaissance, and it's tied to history. But yeah, that when you see, you know, a lot of films, that's the places people that is portrayed from Italy.
Hi everyone, Angelique here. Hope you're enjoying our conversation so far. Do follow our podcast, The Italian Escape, to receive notifications on our new episodes. If you think this could be of interest for your friends or family members, do share it with them. Now, lastly, help us make this podcast more enjoyable by sending in your comments and suggestions at theitalianescapepodcast@gmail.com. Thanks again for your support, and now, let's get back to our episode.
Se dovessi dare... Sono domande un po' cliché forse, però se dovessi dare... diciamo un consiglio a un tuo fellow American, let's say, diciamo su un posto dove andare che non sia nei soliti Firenze, Roma, Venezia, secondo te, diciamo, quale potrebbe essere? La Sicilia, i luoghi dell'Umbria, non lo so, dici, sono curioso. C'è un posto che secondo te potrebbe, diciamo, piacere tanto a uno straniero in generale, non necessariamente un americano, ma che però è poco conosciuto, è poco famoso, diciamo una pillola nascosta. magari gli italiani conoscono, ma gli stranieri no, per una questione di marketing, magari, come dicevi tu.
Well, for me, Sicily, I mean, it's not just the islands, it's all the islands of Sicily. It's the main island and then the small islands, not just for the beaches, but also for city. I love Palermo. I also love Trapani. Catania, I don't know that well. But then there's also the area of Ortigia, of Noto. I really do find that there's everything there. In Sicily, there's, you know, there's culture, there's food, there's art, there's history. Everything is there. I also think a great place to visit is Emilia Romagna, not because I live here, but, you know, recently exploring it. Bologna is a beautiful city. It's a big city, but it has a different vibe than Rome, Milan, Torino, and then the cities around it. So there's Parma, Reggio Emilia, Modena, and the food. You get incredible food. I would always suggest to come in the fall, winter, because it's very hot here. It's extremely hot. And I don't know how much people want to eat, you know, gnocco fritto, like the fried
sì, esatto.
bread with prosciutto when it's, you know, and air conditioning is not really a thing here in Modena, I'm learning, compared to other places I've been in Italy. But I think that it would be a great place to visit, because you get the city, Bologna, you get small towns. There's also the beaches, there's Rimini, Riccione. And then if you like mountains, there's also lots of places to go. I'm not a super mountain lover, but, you know, there's the Dolomites, there's Comayor, there's I do like a lot. Trento, that area, the city as mm-hmm. well. So there's anything you can want, you'll find in Italy.
Insomma, hai appena consigliato quasi tutta Italia.
Yeah, exactly.
Allora, forse
you just
dobbiamo...
need time. You need time to take many, like, to visit all of it. But
yeah, that's true. Forse dobbiamo andare indietro per... la storia di come sei arrivato in Italia, come hai fatto tipo questo... Perché ho visto che hai studiato italiano durante l'università e poi hai deciso anche di studiare un semestre a Milano. E poi piano piano stai entrando nella ottica delle comunicazioni nei settori in Italia, in settori, non lo so, di comunicazione, di... tipo Rai, tipo tutte queste aziende su il comunicazione. Come hai fatto questo?
Come, diciamo, come sei arrivata qua, diciamo, anche per dare un'idea a chi magari ha il sogno dell'Italia, vorrebbe lavorare in Italia, ma non ha un'idea da come da un semestre in Italia si arrivi a essere una professionista affermata in Italia. Anche passando per la partita IVA, che insomma è un
achievement storia.
Yeah, especially in Palermo, we have partita IVA to be a freelance. Well, I guess freelance we can call it, a self-employed in Palermo. But I'll start from the beginning. So when I came to Italy in 2006, I loved it. As I said, I was like hungry to learn Italian. I wanted to learn all about it. So I wanted to do university in Italy, but that wasn't an option. I was too young, according to my mom, to to come here. You know, it'd be moving to the other side of the world. So I decided to go to university in the States, in New York, and I came to do study abroad in Milan. And I felt like it was a place with a lot of opportunity. So right before I studied abroad and right after in New York, I did different internships, always at Italian companies. So I was at Rai, Italian TV. I worked at with La Repubblica's fashion magazine, the Italian newspaper, and I did different experiences. And then as soon as I graduated, I enrolled in a master in Milan at the Università Cattolica. And from there, I was able to get my permesso di soggiorno. So I don't have an Italian passport yet. Hopefully in the next few years, I will, after all these years in Italy. But I was able to get the permit, let's say like a green card, to live here. So in these years, I did all different things. I worked in agency side, I worked corporate side, I worked in startup, I worked as a freelancer, doing many different things. But the main thing that connected it was made in Italy, this Italian excellence, which let's say my specialization is luxury, like marketing luxury, especially through social media, of how to convey this excellence, because, you know, when you go to other parts of the world, Italy is synonymous with this incredible attention to detail, made to measure, but it across many different industries. So here we are in the Motor Valley, so cars, fashion, food. I also worked in the travel industry, you know, to that Italian charm when you go to a hotel. I mean, you can find a beautiful hotel anywhere in the world, but that warm hospitality, I find it in Italy, you know, and how to market that, how to get people to dream, you know, social media, we can follow someone on Instagram anywhere we're from the world. There's someone following from Japan, someone from Mexico, someone from Greece, and following, you know, these accounts, and how do you transmit that dream through, you know, words, through photos, through videos. So let's say that's kind of how my career took me. It's a challenge, you know, because there's so many, there's different competitions, and, you know, it takes also a lot of creativity, because sometimes it's the same product, and how do you pull out new stories? How do you, you know, for example, when I was working in the hotel industry, it's still the same hotel. How do you tell different stories about it season after season? But I do find that there's a lot of magic here in Italy. You know, there's that creativity, there's a new way of seeing things. That's kind of my career, let's say, in a nutshell, how I got to where I am today.
È veramente un piacere, Elena, sentire la passione che riesci a trasmettere sull'Italia, sullo stare qua, sul viverla. E quindi praticamente non hai mai lavorato negli Stati Uniti?
Not really, interning. So when I was when I was young in New York City, I had that experience. But from 2012 is when I started my first job, let's say, here. So it's been 10 years of working here. And it's incredible, because I still feel like, you know, even after all these years, I do have that, I define myself as a New Yorker, not really as an American. I do feel like New York kind of is a lot different than the rest, kind of how Milanese say, I am from Milan, I'm Italian, I'm from Milano. But, you know, being a New Yorker and still having that, you know, that different eye. So I'm still in Italy, and I have assimilated to a lot of the values, but I'm always a little bit different. You know, even, I guess also what helps me stand out is my accent, but also the way that I perceive things and the way that I see things and seeing opportunities. Like, I think recently I was walking and I said to a friend, the sign is so beautiful. And he said, it literally says Salù Maria. Like, I don't know, the director of the butcher shop or Salumi, where you would buy cold cuts. But for me, it just looks so beautiful. So also having a different view of, you know, the quotidianità, the everyday things here, but seeing with it with the eyes of a foreigner.
Hai visto la bellezza? Sì, no, perché secondo me hai bisogno dei stranieri per vedere la bellezza che gli italiani sono troppo abituati.
Sì, è vero.
Because here's an overload, you know, there's an overload of beauty in Italy.
Yeah.
Sì, secondo me, come italiani, non siamo molto consapevoli né dei nostri, diciamo, come posso dire, talenti, né dei nostri difetti. Abbiamo proprio bisogno di una prospettiva terza, diciamo. E, per esempio, come italiani nel mondo del lavoro, abbiamo questa ossessione per il posto fisso, per la sicurezza rispetto al, come posso dire, rispetto al seguire le possibilità per fare, realizzare qualcosa di davvero significativo. No, tante volte ci facciamo fermare, a volte anche perché non pensiamo di essere abbastanza bravi.
Non prendete rischi.
Non prendiamo rischi, e altre volte perché effettivamente la burocrazia è davvero tanta rispetto ad altri paesi. E tu che esperienza hai avuto come partita IVA con la burocrazia italiana?
There's always bureaucracy is always part of everything. So I remember also when I was applying to get my first visa to live here it takes a lot of patience. They say infinite patience produces immediate results. So I've learned that having anxiety and freaking out does not help anyone in Italy. And, you know, to look at it as fun, I've met so many people on adventures of bureaucracy, of the the questura, which is where you get the permessi soggiorno, or at the post office. And I think of all these people, I would call them angels, because they would help me. You know, I remember one time I had to renew my permessi soggiorno, and it was just about to close, the post office, and this guy held it open for me. And it was so nice, you know, because there really is a willingness to help. And I find that, you know, everything is energy, and I don't want to get too like philosophical, but, you know, when you go into something like tense and you know, Italians don't really react well to that, to the intensity and the, you know, I see it as very New York, like it has to be done and, you know, that stress. But instead it's like, okay, I'm going to trust everything is going to be okay and have fun with it. It becomes a little bit of an adventure, because I find that there's that element of drama Italians love at the end of the day. It makes life a little bit interesting. So, you know, I always tell people, if you really want to move here and you really want to get things done, you have to be patient and you have to have fun with it. And you have to trust. If you're meant to be here, you'll be here. Wherever in capacity, maybe it's for a week, maybe it's for a lifetime, who knows. But, you know, to just have fun with it and to leave some space, because I've truly met so many people on my adventures, let's say, of bureaucracy here. Even my accountant is wonderful. I love him, Maurizio. He's a wonderful guy. He's in Palermo. I've kept him, even though I've moved to Milan and then back to Milan and then to Modena since Palermo, because it's such a pleasure to speak to him. And it's someone who I have to literally talk to about taxes. You know, it's not my favorite discussions to have, but he makes the conversation fun, and it's this warmth that makes me keep coming back to have him as my accountant.
Non ho mai sentito, devo dire davvero sinceramente, qualcuno descrivere in modo così romantico l'esperienza con la burocrazia italiana.
Which is funny, dobbiamo fare ambasciatrice.
Ti dobbiamo fare ambasciatrice italiana per gli italiani.
But it's funny, I met him through Alice, who I have been introduced to you both through Alice, my friend Alice. She's the one who introduced me to my accountant. So it's funny how, you know, the world becomes very small as well. And, you know, feeling taken care of, feeling safe, feeling, you know, the other day, for example, I had a little bit of an adventure coming back from my trip to Ischia. My train got canceled, so I had to take a blah, blah car from Naples to Modena, which is very far. I basically drove more than half the country, I think. And, you know, just trusting that I would get home okay. I just trusted. I'm going to get home okay. I don't know what it's going to be like, what it's going to look like, but I met some great people along the way. And, you know, there's that storytelling. You know, we come from a country, there's also a country of great literature, like Dante. You know, it's so there's always a story to tell.
Hai proprio un bel atteggiamento, molto positivo. Sì, io non ce l'ho, devo dire. Per esempio, io tendo ad arrabbiarmi molto quando le cose non funzionano. E dovrei prenderla un po' più con filosofia, come fai tu. Un po' di fiducia nel final outcome, che tutto andrà bene prima o poi.
Ma come sono i tuoi amici in America, a New York? Come pensate di te? Forse dicono, hai cambiato qualcosa di genere o tipo... Hanno visto tipo un
cambiamento nel suo
sì,
carattere?
Sì, forse, che sta in Italia per tanti anni.
I think now I've softened up a bit. When I first moved here, I was very career driven. I still am. I still, you know, love my career and I work very hard. But when I came here, I was very much, you know, driving myself up. I have to find, like, you know, this type of job and this type of thing and this type of thing. And I see now I've become, because things have gotten, you know, they say like from point A to point B, and it's a squiggly line. There's this meme on the internet, you know, and it's not linear. So I've learned the more I just kind of let back and have fun and, you know, kind of just, again, trusting the outcome that everything will work out. So I've learned to kind of separate this stress. I still get it sometimes. It still will be there, but when I was living in New York, I find that I would kind of get also the energy of New York. It could be a stressful place. It's, you know, the concrete jungle. And I would say that's the biggest change I've had since moving to Italy and living here.
Ma i tuoi amici e parenti americani che sono rimasti in Europa si sono accorti di questo cambiamento? Ti dicono come sei diversa, Elena, oppure no?
I think so, yes, and especially when they come visit me. You know, when I go home, I kind of go back, sometimes a little bit of American, let's say, traits come back when I'm back there. But, you know, when people come to visit me and they see me, let's say, in my element, it's fun, and I get very passionate. Just so, if you're in Modena, feel free to reach out to me. We can grab a coffee, and you know, to say like, oh, this is this, and you know, walk around, and the light here in Modena is incredible. And I'm having this a little bit of a rebirth how I'm seeing the city because of the summer. The light changes, and everything is more intense. The colors, and you know, these long days. It's as we're talking now, it's 8:45, and it looks like it's still day outside right now. It's beautiful. You know, to come here and say like, oh, well, we'll figure out what we'll do today. Like today I had a vague idea of what I would do. In New York, it's more planning. You know, you need to know everything that you're doing. And here, I had a general idea. I knew I had this appointment. I had a lunch. But, you know, leave some room for the, they say, unimaginable, for the magic. And that's something I like to transmit to guests who come here, especially when they're on vacation. You know, when they're on vacation, I see a lot of tourists come here and they want to plan every moment of the day. And mm-hmm. I know that there's a lot of fit to fit in, but you can't see all of Italy in 2 weeks. You can't even see all of Rome in 2 weeks. Enjoy it. I like to get myself lost, even in Modena, a small city, but to just walk and say, okay, do I want to go right or left? And then take the next right, left, straight. What do I want to do? And you find restaurants, you meet people, you find stores. And that's what makes it fun. You know, if we plan everything, you're losing opportunities to discover things that you didn't even know were possible.
Lasciare un po' che la vita accada invece di farla accadere. È vero, anche noi quando viaggiamo seguiamo un po' questa filosofia.
Dipende.
Beh, dai, un po' sì, nel senso, pianifichiamo le tappe principali, però poi una volta arrivati nel posto iniziamo, non guardiamo più la mappa, diciamo, iniziamo a perderci un po' nelle stradine. E da questo punto di vista forse gli smartphone con Google, Gmap, eccetera, hanno un po' rovinato la magia, no? Che sei sempre dove sei sempre connesso. Tre volte...
Yeah, I remember when I was in 2009, when I came to study abroad in Milan, I didn't have, you know, a GPS, and I would get lost and I would find things and... I remember I got lost and it was raining and I found myself at the Duomo because that I could see from the top. And I saw this, I'll always remember this beautiful scene. It's the gargoyles of the Duomo mm-hmm. in Milan and just water flying out of it. And I've never seen anything. And I think had I had a phone that had a GPS, I had a flip phone at the time, like a Nokia. Had I had an iPhone, I would have missed it because I didn't have to go towards the Duomo. But because I saw it and I found myself and I walked by it, I obviously don't have a picture of it because it was raining and I guess I didn't have my camera, but like one of those images, it stays in your mind, and that wasn't planned, obviously. That was a planned moment, but that's the beauty of Italy. And I always tell people, make sure you look up, because in Modena as well, there's the archways, and mm-hmm. some of them even have frescoes on the archways. And in a lot of houses in Modena, the ceiling is painted. So you'll walk down the street and people, especially now the summer, have the windows open and you can see the painted ceiling. And that's just incredible beauty. You know, and you see a lot of details I see on houses of like sculptures or, you know, I'm forgetting the art history terminology, but, you know, these sculptures of, it looks like they're holding up the building. And it's these little tiny details that just make it so unique. Incredible. Like everything is a work of art.
Yeah. I mean, it's easy to get into photography in Italy, so.
Oh, yeah.
Sì, esatto. Instagram è il social da usare.
Sì. Oh, okay.
è tutto molto bello. Sia l'arte, diciamo, ricca che l'arte povera, anche quella di tutti i giorni, come l'insegna della salumeria fino agli Uffizi, no? A volte, secondo me, tanti turisti si godrebbero di più l'Italia esplorando proprio le stradine, un po' come ci dice Elena, piuttosto che andare a vedere gli Uffizi, dove magari senza anche sono bellissimi, però serve anche un po' di conoscenza artistica per apprezzarlo appieno.
Yeah, assolutely.
Quindi sono assolutamente d'accordo, è proprio il modo giusto, secondo me, il tuo, Elena, di godersi l'Italia, prendersi il tempo, girare, apprezzare le piccole
Slow
cose.
life.
Slow life, slow life.
Yeah.
Fast cars and slow life. Ok. So, do you have any other
Yeah,
question,
like
Angie? Or...
dopo che sei vissuta più di 10 anni in Italia, cosa sono i tuoi tips, consigli per chiunque che vuole iniziare la vita in Italia oppure chi che vuole imparare l'italiano, diciamo, perché secondo me ci sono alcuni che sono interessati dai nostri ascoltatori.
Sicuramente.
Yeah, so as I shared in the beginning, how I studied to immerse yourself in the language. So even something like putting your iPhone in Italian helps because you already know the different, I guess like the word for settings and background, but then you see it in Italian. Listen to Italian music. Like I would listen to Radio DJ like nonstop from my computer. I don't know if I guess there's must be streaming on Spotify or something, but at the time I would just put it on from radiodj.com and just listen to it all day long. What helped me a lot would be to watch TV and movies with the subtitles in Italian, because if you do it in English, you have to translate, but if it's in Italian, you can at least see the words. That helps me a lot. And to read, you can read even kids' books or one newspaper article a day about something you're interested in. So if you have to read about current events or politics, and you're not interested, you're not going to want to read it. But if you're interested in fashion and you read an article about, something new, I don't know, a new collection, you can learn that way. Also, another tip would be don't be afraid. Just be, even if people don't understand you, it's okay. Try. Keep trying. Don't be embarrassed because it takes a lot of courage to speak another language. So be kind to yourself. What helps me a lot too, I remember I'd put post-its all over my house. So all the day-to-day things like mirror, oven, refrigerator, closet, everything had post-its on it in my couch. And I learned it's a lot of repetition. And then if you want to move to Italy, I know there's a lot of times people are afraid and they think it's not possible. I know so many expats, so many. In Modena, it's a very small city. There's a ton of expats here. Even in Palermo, I met so many people. Kind of let yourself be guided. It may not be a big city. Maybe you won't end up in Milan or Rome or Torino, but maybe you'll end up in a small city in, I don't know, in Puglia or in Veneto, who knows? But be open, be open to maybe it's something a little bit different than you expected, but I really do believe if you have this dream to live in Italy, not everyone has it. If you really have this dream, you're probably meant to be here, as I said, maybe a week or a month or a year or a lifetime, whatever it is, let yourself try it and enjoy it. I don't know if I'll be here forever. I mean, just for today, my intention is to stay here, but who knows? Maybe it'll be another city or, maybe I'll take a break and go back to America. That's not my intention. I really like where I am right now, but if you would have told me 10 years ago, the
Avresti
percorso,
passato
like
10 anni in Italia, non l'avresti
the path
detto.
I took, I would say, how is that even possible? So be open.
Chi vivrà vedrà, come
Exactly.
si dice, esatto. E tra l'altro tu scrivi anche, ogni tanto scrivi gli articoli, qualche articolo visto sull'Italia, sui viaggi, ma se uno volesse trovare questi articoli o magari ti volesse contattare per chiedere qualche consiglio, dove ti trova?
The best place to contact me is on Instagram, so Elena Ciprietti, Elena Ciprietti on Instagram. I'm sure you'll have my name in the show notes, but I'd love to hear from you. Please tell me about where you're traveling. I have a lot of people who have found me and followed me and I've been along for the ride. A lot of times people write me and say, where are you? Because I'm confused. You move around a lot. But also, if you want any tips, I have lots of tips of Italy. Like, it makes me so happy to see people enjoying Italy. So if you're going to Venice and you want to know where a good restaurant, contact me. I'm really happy to share, because I never want to hear stories of people saying they went to a tourist trap and they hated it. You know, Roman food is terrible. No, I never want to hear those words. So please reach out to me and I'm always happy to be in touch.
E se passassero da Modena in modo
Yeah.
particolare, possono
Absolutely. We
chiederti
can have a
qualche consiglio.
gnocco fritto, which we also have at breakfast, but which is similar to Genova with the
Con la
focaccia,
focaccia.
Yeah.
Sì. Potrebbe essere un evento, gnocco fritto con Elena.
Con cappuccino però.
Con cappuccino,
Exactly.
certo. D'accordo, direi che siamo arrivati
Sì.
alla fine. E thank you so much, Elena, for being with us and sharing your experience. And it has been really a delightful
Yes.
interview. And I personally loved a lot how passionate you are about Italy.
Are you inspired now?
Well, let's say that it's nice to get a foreigner perspective on what's good in Italy, because sometimes as an Italian I focus too much on what's wrong. So it's nice. So thank you again. And guys, if you have any question for us or for her,
Just write to us.
just write to us. Exactly.
Yeah, we'll put in the show notes Elena's contact, which she just shared with us on Instagram. And yeah, just feel free to write. That's it. I
Oh,
think that's it.
yeah, you just missed the final greetings. We saw that you disconnected
We
for a
at the
while.
very end there was a little bit of frozen. I don't know if it was my connection out, but I'm glad it happened at the end and not during. But thank you so much. It was such a pleasure to have a chat with you. Thank you for listening. If you made it this far, thank you for listening. And yeah, I hope to be in touch. Thank you.
Thank you again.